For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. The Church. The word church, as used in the New Testament, is a translation of the compound Greek word ekklesia, taken from ek, meaning out, and kaleo, to call or summon, and simply meaning called out ones. It suggests the assembly of those who have been summoned out from their residence or places of occupation, and is especially used to indicate a religious congregation or assembly. Ecclesia occurs 118 times in the New Testament, being translated as church 115 times, and as assembly 3 times. The true Church of Jesus Christ, sometimes called the Invisible Church, is made up of individuals whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life and who live pure, exemplary lives in accordance with God's Word. The Church is built by Jesus Christ Himself and is His visible representation on earth. Its importance is seen in the infinite love Jesus had for it, in that He hath purchased it with His own blood and gave Himself for it. The invisible church is perfect in purity, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. One of its most important identifying marks is unity. The members of this church are one body of believers, led by one Spirit, have one calling, and serve one Lord. Paul said that the church, which he referred to as the household of God, was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. The church is alluded to in Scripture as the body of Christ, of which He is its head. Its members will make up the bride of Christ, and will be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Other New Testament scriptures refer to the church as a royal priesthood, a spiritual building or house, and the church of the firstborn. God's people are identified as the habitation of God, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the flock of God, the children of heirs of God, and branches of the true vine. Inherent throughout Scripture is the concept that God's people should participate in local gatherings of believers. These local bodies are sometimes referred to as the visible church, to differentiate them from the invisible church of all the ages. The visible church consists of ecclesiastical communities whose members are known and whose assemblies are public, organized for the purpose of proclaiming and promoting the gospel of the kingdom of God. Gatherings or convocations of God's people were emphasized in Old Testament times. The children of Israel were required to attend 3 annual feasts, as well as other assemblies. These were times when all normal daily work was to be subjugated to spiritual concerns. Attendance was required. These were times of cleansing, fasting, humility, sacrifice and offerings, worship, and earnest prayer. Many examples of religious assemblies are found in the Old Testament writings. Moses pitched the tabernacle of the congregation outside of the camp and instructed everyone who sought the Lord to go there to meet him. Samuel required all of Israel to gather at Mizpah in a solemn assembly, where he prayed for them and they fasted and confessed their sins. Hezekiah ordered the cleansing of the sanctuary and decreed that all the people were to gather to make offerings to God and worship Him. Josiah called a solemn assembly and led the people in entering into a covenant with the Lord to walk in all His ways. Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Joel also called for assemblies of the people, leading them in fasting, seeking the Lord, and dedication of themselves to Him. In the New Testament, Jesus taught the importance of believers meeting together, telling his disciples that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus called the apostles to be the initial leaders of his church, instructing and preparing them for the larger ministry they and the other believers would have after the empowering of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Local gatherings of believers began immediately after the crucifixion. These churches had recognized forms of worship and service, appointed leaders and roles, and had membership requirements and the authority to exercise discipline. Examples of these principles exist through the Acts of the Apostles as well as the Epistles. The visible church's mission is to proclaim the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. It is God's agent to equip his people to do his work and build up the body of Christ. It is instructed to preach the pure word of God and is given authority to administer the ordinances of water baptism, the Lord's Supper, and washing of the disciples' feet. The visible church is enjoined to exercise discipline, exemplify love, exercise spiritual gifts, glorify God in all things, edify the flock, teach what Jesus commanded, be an enlightening and restraining influence in the world, minister to those in need, promote good and oppose evil, and to evangelize the world. It is to provide a place of fellowship where Christians can be devoted to one another and honor one another, instruct one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, encourage one another, and love one another. The existence of the true church does not depend on man-made forms or rituals, on edifices or implements of worship, on the favor of governments or ruling bodies, or on any actions or dispensations from the hand of man. It has often existed and even thrived when all of these things were taken from it. Though challenged, ridiculed, banned, and defied, it continues to exist, dependent upon nothing but the presence of God and His Spirit. The future of the church is glorious, for it will be caught away in the rapture, when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The church will be presented without spot before God the Father's throne and will enjoy abundant privileges throughout eternity.